Kidventures. Where will your next trip take you?
Hi, this is Ting from My Travel Monkey.
And Kathy from Mummy Travels.
And you're listening to Kidventures, the family travel podcast.
And today we are talking about my home city and somewhere that you simply can never get tired of. According to Dr. Johnson, anyway. Yes, it's all about London.
And because the chances are that you've at least considered visiting London with your kids, today we've got fellow family travel blogger Katja from Globetrotting along for her tips too.
She's another fellow London resident, and Katja and I, along with Nell from the Pigeon Pair and Me blog, run a Facebook group called London with Kids. So come along and check us out for more tips too.
So thank you so much for joining us, Katja. And looking forward to having a good chat about all things London.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm always happy to chat about London with kids.
Pleasure. So tell us a bit about, I mean, how long, because I know you've lived in all kinds of exciting places as well, but how long have you lived in London? What's your, you know, what's your London background?
So I lived in London what feels like a million years ago now, but as a sort of, you know, young kind of late 20s girl about town, and then we lived overseas for 12 years, but I used to come back sort of every year to visit family. And so as I had more and more kids and we sort of came back, we'd explore London as tourists.
Yeah.
And then we moved back here sort of 2.5 years ago, and along with the 3 kids we have just loved discovering London together as a family, and really are just constantly surprised about how much there is to do here. So we we're regularly out and about discovering the capital.
Yeah, totally. I think throwing out my own London credentials, it's really interesting how you appreciate the city differently. So my mum is originally from London. My grandparents lived here when I was growing up, so we used to come down multiple times a year and do all the touristy things, you know, as kids. And then I moved here straight after university to do my postgrad. And apart from a year living in Bristol, this is basically where I've lived ever since. So then lived here as an adult, had my own daughter, and gone back and rediscovered all the things that I did as a kid as well with her.
I think because I've kind of grown up around London all my life, so my parents moved here. They got married in Camden many, many years ago. And I was always kind of on the outskirts of London and then moved back into main London. I lived in South London for many, many years. My first son was born in London. It's always been half an hour train drive for me to the centre of town. And I think I need to rediscover London much more this year. I think I forget how great it is. I think when you live nearby, you kind of forget that.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you agree? I think you just take it for granted.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think you sort of forget all the wonderful things that there are to do here. And it's been one of the nice things about sort of moving here as a new destination with the children, is that we've sort of seen it afresh. And so it's been really like, okay, this is a completely new place for all of us. Let's discover it. And so that's been fun to have that kind of freshness.
Yeah, definitely. It's so easy. I think I'm better since my daughter was born, but for years I'd live here and we'd never do, you know, any of the kind of big London things unless we had visitors. It was sort of, you know, you could go to the Tower any day that you wanted, or the museums, or the this, or the that, or the other, but you just didn't, because they were always there and you could go any time. So, you know, so you never did.
Yeah.
But I'm making up for it now. So I think one thing that's interesting that I've had a few people say to me is there seems to be a perception that London is better with older kids, and I can see why. You know, it's a big city, a lot of the attractions here do work for older kids, but what age do you think that people should start visiting with their families? Because I'm intrigued to see if you think the same as me.
So I mean, I'm a big believer of taking your kids anywhere at any age. And I think for us, we've always explored London, because when we would come back to visit, you know, the kids were, first they were babies and then they were toddlers. And so we would always get out and about. And I mean, obviously navigating the tube with a buggy is a pain, and it's completely not advisable in rush hour. But you know, once you work out how to navigate that and to take the buses and to not get on public transport with the rest of humanity at you know, sort of 8 in the morning, then it's really possible. And I'm constantly amazed at how much stuff there is to do for kids of all ages. You know, you have museums that are really perfect for young kids, like the Postal Museum, which has this fantastic sorted area, which is great for toddlers, the London Transport Museum, you know, even the big name museums like the V&A and the National History Museum, they all have activity booklets or little backpacks, or, you know, if it's during the holidays, they'll have activities. So I think there is something for every age child in London. And it's really just a question of kind of getting out there and doing it.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. I mean, I think my daughter was about 18 months old when she first went to the Natural History Museum. And not a great deal older when we went to the Science Museum, because they've got an area called the Garden.
Yeah, we like it.
Down the basement, which is, I think technically it's for older kids, but it's totally geared up for preschoolers and toddlers. All sensory, water and lights and textures. Yeah. And there's some musical instruments, and there's like a puppet theatre, and there's massive
water play.
Lego-ish blocks, I think. The water play. Yeah. I love that. You get these. They have these sort of little coveralls, waterproof coveralls.
Yeah.
But a toddler can always get themselves soaking wet.
Of course.
Even through. So, yeah, that was always my top tip. If you go there, take spare clothes. They will get soaked. They will get soaked.
But I think London's just got little pockets of things. Like, we've been to Crystal Palace and seen the dinosaurs. Yeah. And Horniman Museum is really
Horniman's
good.
Horniman's lovely.
I think, depending what area you're from in London as well. London's so vast. I've never taken the kids up to Greenwich, you know, all around there, only because it feels like a schlep for me to get there on the other side of London. But that's just laziness on my part.
No, I mean, it's a long way. I did think it was funny when you said it's only half an hour for you into central London. I technically live in London. It's still half an hour for me to get there.
I was thinking the same thing. The other thing that I think is so great is there's so much theatre for kids of all ages. You know, the number of shows that are geared for kind of babies and toddlers is just amazing. You know, and then the shows for younger children, and then obviously teens and that. But you have so much that is actually purposely made for kids that I just think it's fantastic.
We live very close to Wimbledon, actually, and there's the Poker Theatre in Wimbledon that's just dedicated to children, as well as the new Wimbledon Theatre that has lots and lots of shows. And that's literally a 15-minute drive from here. And I just, again, it's because it's there. I know we've been, but, you know, I really should take advantage of the fact that it's only down the road.
There's one on the South Bank as well that we haven't been to for years. But again, we went, they had toddler friendly. I'm trying to think, is it the Unicorn?
Yeah.
And they that's all aimed at kids, which is, like you say, it's brilliant. And then they don't have to be that much older once the attention span is there. And you think of all the amazing musicals and things that.
The thing is, though, and I think a lot of people are put off by London, especially people from not around this area, is the cost, right? And all these things can really mount up a day trip to London, including your travel plus your food and then going somewhere. It can be expensive. What do you think? There are actually lots of things that are free, right, as well?
I mean, London is an expensive city, absolutely, but as you said, there are a lot of free things to do, which is definitely brings the cost down. And, you know, I think so that all the big museums, unless you're going to one of the special exhibitions, those are all free. You know, if you're not traveling at peak time, then actually public transport is not heinous either. You know, bring snacks with you, a picnic if the weather's nice. So I think that there are ways to definitely keep the cost down. And, you know, you have so many websites like Little Bird Deals that have great deals on days out. If you book theatre well in advance, you can sometimes get deals. There's the Kids Week in August where they can go free. So I think it just needs a little bit of planning. And then you also have things, you know, that are really British. So if you're coming from sort of overseas in particular, so like the changing of the guards, that's free. Yeah. There is stuff on. You just have
parks to get are all free. Hyde Park. Yeah.
You can and these amazing playgrounds, you know, like the Princess Diana one, we've got one in Highgate Woods near us. It's just fantastic. The Queen Elizabeth Olympic Park. You know, I mean, there is lots to do. You just need to find it, don't you?
Yeah. And you can do, I like sort of little clever things that you can do. Obviously, the open-top bus tours and things are fun. It's not that I'd say don't do them, but if you're a bit clever with the buses, go and sit on the top deck.
Yeah.
And some of the buses, you know, free for kids, you know, a couple of pounds,
£2.50,
depending how many adults you've got and how far you're going. And you can follow that round and see a lot of the sights that way.
Yeah. Completely. I mean, I know the number 11, you know, that sort of goes past the Houses of Parliament and the Houses of Parliament, Horse Guards Parade. And, you know, so you get all those big sites, as you say, without having to pay the hop on, hop off fees.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
And walking and just catching
walking.
Yes.
Yeah.
And until you have a really grumpy toddler and then you get the bus.
That's true. Yes. Yeah. I probably wouldn't walk very far with the toddler.
No, not with the toddler. If you've got a baby, though, that also solves the tube issue because you can get your buggy and your comfy shoes and off you go.
I mean, that is the great thing about London, isn't it? That it's so walkable. I mean, I love that you can literally just walk from one side to the other if you wanted to and just go through such fascinating neighbourhoods.
Yes. Yeah. The other thing I think people find about London, and actually, to be honest, living here sometimes I find about London, is where to start. Because, as we said, there is just so much to do. And we've all got years of experience visiting, living here and so on. And there's still places we haven't been or meaning to go.
So many.
Tips to find. So I can imagine if you're starting afresh, you're here, I know you've got a weekend, you've got a week, and you think, what on earth should I do? Where do I start? You know, you've got big name attractions and so on, but what do you suggest to people?
So I always think if you're looking at London, you know, it is easy to be overwhelmed because you say it's such a big city. But if you sort of break it down into pockets and neighbourhoods, and that way you don't have to kind of drag the kids halfway across town as well, which keeps everybody happy.
Yeah.
You know, so we, like, if the sun's shining, we love spending a weekend down on the South Bank and wandering along the river. And, you know, sometimes there's shows on, or they have those amazing appearing rooms, you know, the water fountains, which are just brilliant.
My favourite down there as well. I know it's touristy, but it's just lovely there.
Yeah, it's just, I just think it's great. And you've got Borough Market, which we also really enjoy. And I think, you know, really London is all about sort of the river that runs through it. And I think sort of spending time there is fantastic. And then, you know, if you sort of, you can cross the river and go over to the Tower of London and sort of do those big sights and the London Eye. And then I think, you know, it's then just sort of choosing those sort of pockets of neighbourhoods that you really want to see. So maybe a day at the National History Museum and then exploring all around there and Hyde Park. And do you know what I mean? Sort of just choosing sort of small areas to really explore by foot.
Yeah, exactly. I think not packing too much
overwhelming.
And also, like you say, it's easy to forget, you know, in many ways London is walkable, but equally it is also a very big city.
Yeah.
So if you're putting, I don't know, Hyde Park in the morning and then go to Greenwich and then come back to Tower, I'm just exhausting even thinking about it.
I'm already pooped thinking about it.
And you could spend an awful lot of time going backwards and forwards and sitting on the tube and just,
that wouldn't be fun
come
for
away
anybody.
Thinking that was rubbish.
Yeah. And then that's another really fun thing is to sort of, I know you were saying you haven't done it yet, Ting, but to take the boat down to Greenwich and go.
Definitely. That's my favourite way
to go. Is it the Thames Clipper?
Yeah.
I will do that this summer. Right. You too. That is one of my London wish lists this year.
Committed.
As is Tower of London, because my eldest he loves Gangster Granny, and you know they steal the crown jewels, and he keeps saying, "I want to go," and I'm like, "Yes, I will, we'll go." And you just weekends fly past. This is my problem. It's not even far away, but you know weekends fly past, and I'm like, "Oh, we haven't done it."
You've got to book it in.
Yes,
you've got to book it in.
I think that's the key, isn't it?
Yeah.
To treat London as if I was a tourist and to book these attractions in and make a day of it rather than say, we'll do it. we'll do it.
Because I did the same. It's like the year before last, I went, oh, this is the year I finally take my daughter to the Tower, which is, I think, my absolute favourite place in London. And then somehow the year just passed and we hadn't been. So then last year, I'm like, I am definitely taking her this year. And again, it's sort of the time passed and it was the beginning of June, literally, I think about the 2nd of June or something, but still almost halfway through the year. And we went, and then we did go again in August. So
you made up for it. 2 in 1 year.
Well, this is it. She went and she was a bit like, this is amazing. And you walk around, you realize how much there is to do. That, you know, we didn't do everything the first day, so we had to go back anyway. But yeah, otherwise the weekends tick round and you suddenly realise that, yeah, whoosh, the year went, you didn't go.
Yeah. And I think also I'm a National Trust member. So we kind of tend to say, oh, we haven't been there, we don't do that. But sometimes we do go back into London, like Ham House, and obviously he's in Richmond and stuff like that. But I think I need to make more of an effort I was
quite tempted last year to get the historic palaces membership. Because I have National Trust as well, for the same kind of reason, because then you can nip into the Tower for an hour, as it were, or pop down to Hampton Court.
I think it's actually very good value, the historic palaces pass. Because, you know, it's because that's the other thing, going to like the Tower, and that's not cheap, but if you do buy the pass, then you get to go, and you get to go regularly, which is nice.
I think I worked out you needed about 3 visits over the year.
Yeah,
that's what to any attraction. Because so Hampton Court's only down the road as well.
This is it. So I thought in any given year, we'd probably go to Hampton Court once and we'd probably go to the Tower once. Yeah. And then you've only got to go one other time and you've broken even. And the thing is, once you have the pass, you're a bit like, well, I've got the pass, I can go whenever I want. So you go more because
you want to make most of it. Yeah.
And also because you don't think, oh, I'd love to go again, but that's another...
£20. So, I might look into that. So yeah, I've learned something from both of you today about that.
We're a mine of useful information.
We've only just started as well, Ting. There's so much more fun.
Yes, this is just the edited highlights.
Yeah.
Oh god, there's too much. But that is one of the things I do love about London attractions, is that I find they do seem to work very hard to be family friendly. So talking about the Tower that we went twice, they have these amazing performances. So the first time it was reenacting the stealing the crown jewels, the second time reenacting a tower escape by one of the prisoners, and it's very interactive and they've got actors there. And then they have special activities that tie in. Plus, they've got an app that you can do while you're there. Like you said, Catcher, the museums tend to have activities and trails for kids, even for little ones and so on. So, you know, there is. It's not like you look at it and you think, oh, but would my kids like that? Because it's already aimed at them.
Yeah.
So have you got any favourites?
Well, yeah, it's funny because when we were living overseas, we lived in sort of cities, Mexico City and New Delhi, which really didn't have very much for kids, and so you're constantly searching for ways to sort of do things with the kids or make a museum accessible for them or enjoyable. And now I come back to London and it's just, I'm slightly overwhelmed by how much thought goes into making places enjoyable for kids, you know, and so that they really get the most out of it. And we went to the Royal Academy last year and they do organize activities around current exhibitions, and that's really fun because you can go sort of backstage at the museum and you go into these sort of rooms and have kind of artists.
I didn't know they had that.
That's cool. No.
Cool.
We've never been there.
Oh, it's a beautiful. I had an ex-boyfriend who used to go there. That's how I know.
It was really lovely. A friend told me about it, and we had a really fun afternoon sort of making masks based on this sort of oceans exhibition. And I've already mentioned the London Transport Museum and the Postal Museum. And, you know, I just think that they really do a great job of thinking about kids. There's also another one I wanted to mention was it's a company called That Muse, which stands for Treasure Hunt at the Museum. And they do a really fantastic job of making museums fun for kids, because they run these treasure hunts, and so you can go and explore sort of the British Museum or the Natural History Museum, and you have to find exhibitions and, you know, perform tasks to get sort of bonus points and answer clues, and that's another really fun thing to do for families.
I've seen some of the things you've written about it, and it looks, I've looked into them but not done them, and yeah. they look absolutely brilliant. It looks so much fun.
Yeah, it really is.
Hilarious as a family or like a little group of friends yeah. or something.
Yeah, and we yeah. found that we are so competitive as well between the five of us, and then sort of amongst the teams, you know. So it was really kind of brings out everybody's personalities in a good and bad way.
Yeah, very really... competitive. This could backfire.
Exactly.
And I the Imagine Festival at the South Bank is always a fantastic thing for families. Every year.
I always seem to miss that. That seems to be one because I'm away or I'm busy or.
But they really, really tailor it to every member of the family. So from even babies, they have like little baby reading groups to toddlers, to treasure hunts around, to specific dance and theatre shows. And a lot of that is free. Or a very small entry fee. It's nothing. And then, like you said, just enjoying the river around there and taking the festival in as well. So I think, you know, we've all kind of said the same thing. It's just about knowing what you want, researching it at the time and just seeing what's out there.
Definitely. Yeah.
And obviously, if anyone wants more tips, they can come to the Facebook group that I co-host with Catcher. And now on Facebook called London with Kids. We're not hard to find. and we will share all of the things that we know.
What's it about? What's it called again? Just to reiterate.
London with Kids.
Got it. Written down. Actually, I'm already a member. So something which I think surprises visitors is how green London is. And we have so many parks and obviously all the lovely spaces along the river. So there is plenty of chance to get outside with the family, don't you think, in London?
Definitely.
So what are your favourite guys? Any hidden gems or...
Well, I'm north, so we go to Highgate Woods and Hampstead, which are, you know, not hidden gems, but they are, I love them, you know, and I love that it's so, you feel like you're out in the countryside and that you're still in central London and, you know, that it's kind of muddy and woody and puddles and there's this fantastic playground in Highgate Woods and we go swimming in the ponds.
Oh, lovely.
On Hampstead Heath when the weather is nicer. And, you know, I just, I love that it's so easy to get outside here in London.
Yeah.
One of my favourites is Coram's Fields.
Oh, I like Coram's Fields.
Yeah, not far from the British Museum.
Yeah,
and perfect for families because you can only go in if you are with kids.
Yeah.
Which is another lovely touch. But I quite often do that as a combination with the British Museum.
Yeah.
So we'll go in, we'll have a look around there and then come out and she can let off some steam playing.
It's a good fox wire there.
But that's nice as well for they've got lots of different areas. So there's animals and then stuff for toddlers and then there's little activities and so on as well. And one thing that I keep meaning to do with my daughter, which I haven't done yet, is to go and see the pelicans.
Oh, I was just about to say the pelicans. We love the pelicans.
I know. I do. I'm very fond of the pelicans.
they're always a hit. The pelicans in St. James's Park are brilliant.
Yeah.
I must do that.
You must.
Yeah.
You must. But there's so much. I mean, you stroll around, you know, Regent's Park.
Always beautiful.
One of my favourites is Regent's Park.
That's it. It's lovely to... We always try and walk through it if we go to the zoo as well. And that crops up in some of the Paddington stories, so we never walk through except without discussing Paddington's mishaps and exploits around the open air theatre.
But Green Park's lovely as well.
Yeah, and full of squirrels.
Yes.
Yeah. I do like a squirrel. I know they're invasive and the rest of it, but they're
still... Well, kids like them too. Yeah. Like chasing them.
Yeah, you can squirrel spot. A squirrel will always beat you. There's a lot of squirrels in our local park and I'm constantly astonished by how fast they are.
Yeah. But then you've got Kew Gardens, Richards Park, Bushy Park. If you go a bit further out, central London, of course. Yeah. But they are worth a trip. But
Kew,
in itself,
Kew is wonderful. Kew
is amazing, isn't it? It's really, definitely worth making the trek. And it is a bit of a trek from where we are, but it's fantastic.
So on the right side of London for that. So we used to have the Friends of Kew membership.
Nice.
again, before, particularly before my daughter started school, that would be a what shall we do today? We'll go to queue for an hour or two. And they've got the amazing children's garden, the new playground that opened last May. So we went into that, and that is fantastic. And happily, they've also changed the system. So when they first opened, you had to go in, then queue up and get a ticket for your time slot. So it's quite nice they have time slots that it's limited numbers, so it's never too full.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Understandably, it was very popular and there were massive queues, and you'd get there first thing and still couldn't get in for 3 hours.
Yeah.
So now what they're doing is you can book that online. So I think it's the Sunday or the Monday before, so you can then book a week to 2 weeks ahead.
Yeah.
Depending which day you're going on. So that's great, because that's definitely worth seeing. But
the other great playground, there's the one down at Hampton Court Palace, isn't it? I forget what
it's called. Magic Playground.
Yes.
Yeah, which is really amazing. That's
really good, yeah.
And that one you can book in advance as well, I think, can't you?
Yes, I think so. And they also have, like the tower, they have some brilliant activities in the holidays. We went along to Henry VIII Sporting Academy, I think it was, last summer, and you could try archery and watch actors dress up as Henry VIII and Anne Boleyn and all kinds of things, but all within the cost of the ticket.
But then you've got stuff like, you know, oxygen free jumping and Kidzania, and you know, it's not just history and parks and playgrounds.
No, that's true.
There's just so many, like Shrek's Adventures, like in Town, the dungeon,
orbital slide, which my eldest did with. And he said it was just amazing.
So do I. I haven't done that for a while.
Yeah, so there are, you know, yeah, as you say, it's not just sort of history and parks. There are kind of, you know, fun and thrilly type things as well.
Yeah, up at the O2 as well for older kids.
Yeah.
I can't remember how, you've got to be a particular height for up at the O2, not the kid.
But yeah, no, I think it can be overwhelming, so I think it's just know what you fancy and then kind of look into it.
It pays to do a bit of research, I think, but yes, to start from the thing you want to do rather than trying to do all the things, because you couldn't in one break, you'd die.
And we've kind of discussed kind of my London wish list anyway. I've mentioned that I need to go to the Tower of London.
Yes, you do.
So Katya, where in London do you fancy going to that you haven't been to, or you fancy returning to because you love it that much?
So I really want to go and see some of the sort of smaller, quirkier museums in London. I sort of feel like I've done the big ones quite a few times now, but you know, like the old operating theater museum at London Bridge.
Really good, really want to go to that.
I haven't been to the Horniman yet. I really want to go to the Sherlock Holmes Museum, just because I really want to see why there's always a massive queue outside. It's insane. There's this enormous queue. And I just see what is inside that's so good. So I really want to go and see those kind of, you know, slightly less mainstream museums.
Yeah.
The Pollock's Museum, that's another one that's on my list. So yeah, there's a bunch of those.
Yeah. So I still haven't got to the Postal Museum. That's been on my list for since it's opened. and again, that's what I need to plan that in. So the slide I definitely fancy doing, and the old operating theatre. I'm not sure.
There's a museum in Chelsea that I've been told about.
Is that the army one?
Yes, the army museum. I really want to go there because the kids can go in tanks and they can dress up as soldiers. And it's all about the history of World War II. Yeah. And it's free.
An amazing play area as well for kids. I think you might have to book times for that.
Yeah, that looks really good too. And for younger kids as well.
Yeah. And I was talking.
Yeah, I haven't heard of that. That's great.
Yeah, that reopened
last year, I think.
Yeah, last year or the year before. Yeah, it had been closed for a while.
Oh, there you go. There's another one on my list.
There you go. Your list is getting longer. This is the thing. The list never gets shorter when you live in London. And I was actually I'm still wondering if my daughter is going to go for this, but there's up in Hendon, there's the RAF Museum. I think it is. Anyway.
be very good. Yeah, I haven't been yet either, but it's supposed to be excellent.
A friend of mine's been with her two boys and they absolutely love it. I think my daughter would be up for it as well. We drove past the other day and we're talking about it, but they've got lots of old planes there and things like that. So I think that always goes down pretty well.
Definitely.
And because it's just that bit outside the centre as well, I think it's not, you know, it's not so busy.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing I want to do more of is go to the theatre, but that sort of means being sort of organised and, you know, booking tickets well in advance and getting decent deals and things.
Have you heard of the lottery? Because I've been going on to the Matilda lottery and the Hamilton lottery. So a lot of shows have lottery tickets.
Okay.
You just sign up, you go onto their website. So Matilda has it every week. You sign up and they just randomly pick you out of a hat every week. And one of my friends has been successful twice and you get two tickets for like a tenner, you know, something ridiculous, really, really cheap. So you just sign up. So I've been signing up to the Hamilton lottery because I really want to see that. And again, you get like half price tickets or £20 tickets.
Yeah.
You have to go when they tell you, so you have to be ready to go that week. But that's another way to get.
That's a great ticket.
Yeah. So we've been intending to go and see Matilda for a while. In fact, my daughter and I both got theatre tokens for our birthdays last summer and I still haven't booked tickets.
You need to book those then.
Yeah.
Any excuse now. That is, yeah.
You don't even need to go in the lottery. You've got ticket.
Yes, exactly.
I'm gonna win this lottery and use the theatre tokens on something else. She wants to see Wicked as well. I thought we'd start with Matilda.
put that on your Facebook group.
You put it on the Facebook.
Oh, I'll put it on Facebook.
Yeah, only on Fridays. Okay. You're only allowed to share on Fridays.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Friday share day.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Katya, for chatting with us today about London with kids.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's okay. It's been really insightful, as always.
Yeah, I always love the fact that, you know, even with all of us with all of our different experience and so on, you sit us all down and each of us I think has said something that the others have gone, oh, I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
I know, you sort of learn new things, like the theatre lottery. I'm like, I'm going to go into all shows now and try and enter the lottery.
Proof positive, if you needed it, that you can never get tired of London and that there is always something new to learn.
And for every budget.
Yeah. And obviously, if you want more tips, more inspiration, more budget advice, do pop over to the London with Kids Facebook group where we answer all sensible questions and some silly ones as well.
We hope you enjoyed listening too. Get more family travel advice and inspiration in the earlier podcasts. And do let us know if there are any questions you'd like covering in a future podcast.
Check out kidventures.co.uk for more and where to subscribe. And please don't forget to review this and do recommend it to your friends.
Do, 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 do. See you again soon for the next kidventure. Do, 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 do.